I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Oh, we got so many people talking about Luka Doncic being traded to the LA Lakers. The Lakers, they're always winning. They're always getting their way. I'm going to shock some of you guys tonight with my take on all of this. All right? So, Luka's a hell of a player. He's 25. He's not even in his prime yet. Okay? Like, there's a lot of positive things for the LA Lakers with regards to them acquiring Luka. We saw Luka firsthand killing us last year in the postseason. Luka's one of those generational talents. He's special. He is special. But I think that we're operating in a space right now where we're acting as though, like, Luka has no flaws. And that's the weird part about this conversation right now. Luka Doncic has flaws. He does. He's not in great shape, which gets discussed and talked about a lot. But then we don't talk about it after he goes out and gets you like 40, right? So, and I get it. The way that his body type is and his skill set, he's already good. He could be better. He could be better. And with that, you know what's happened the last few years? He's been less available because he's not in great shape. I thought what was so funny about the whole Luka dad bod and him missing time and, you know, calf strains and ankles and all these different things. And a couple things. After they knocked off the Timberwolves in the postseason, at Target Center, you had the video of him with the Fulton beer in his hand. He had the Lonely Blonde, and Michael Finley was like, give me that damn beer. Michael Finley didn't want to see him, you know, drinking a beer in a hallway there because he knows Luka. Luka's somebody that is not about being in top physical condition. And one thing that you don't really want to do with a guy, and I'm not saying that you got to work out and bust your ass every single day of your life in the off season, but don't just do whatever the hell you think you want in the off season as though, like, you're not paid to be a professional athlete. That's your livelihood.
But why couldn't he just have a beer after they clinched the Western Conference Finals? I mean, if it was a Wisconsin beer, Michael Finley would have been fine. But it's because it was a Minnesota beer. Yes, I'm fairly certain.
I don't know. Well, Michael Finley ain't from Wisconsin.
Didn't he go to Wisconsin?
He went to Wisconsin, but he ain't from Wisconsin. Yeah. But maybe he knows Luka all too well. Mm. Like, the man in basketball operations took the beer out of his hand.
And Luka was like a kid who's like, well, what'd I do?
But I think that people are just trying to go ahead and act as though, like, this was some sort of one-sided trade. Luka often gets hurt. He's out of shape. Phenomenal player, but then the opposite side, you got Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, when healthy, is one of the top dozen players in the world. When healthy. That's the issue. When healthy. He gets hurt a lot, okay? So he's got his flaws, too. Anthony Davis's flaws are his health. That's it. It ain't out of shape. It's him getting nicked up. But when he's healthy, he's capable of getting you 40 and 20. Like, Anthony Davis is special. He's a generational talent, too. And you know what he is? One of the top two-way players in the world. Luka can't play defense to save his life.
No,
Anthony Davis is one of the top defenders in the world.
Well, for me, I mean, Dallas has already got bigs. So they're adding another big to it. And now you're making a team that was already questionable on defense and the LA Lakers even more vulnerable. But
I don't see how this helps the Lakers defensively. But who on their team is going to play defense now? Who is their post players?
Mm.
The Lakers aren't. Let me say this. I've said this before. You've heard me say this for the last several years. Because everybody, you know, everybody's in love with the Lakers, and they're the national spotlight, and we love them up, and LeBron. And I said this years ago, after AD and LeBron won the championship, LeBron James is not winning another championship. He's done winning championships. LeBron James, I'll repeat myself, he is not winning another ring. It's over. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's not happening. Even with them making this deal for Luka, they're not winning anything.
This doesn't get them any closer.
No, it doesn't. Actually, I think Dallas is a better team than the Lakers. At least right now, we know that they are. Now, if the play is this is all about the future, okay, that's fine. But Luka still has to do the work, is my point.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing the Lakers have done is they've always had like a franchise guy. And with LeBron now, you know, in the very, very twilight of his career, now you've got your next building block. You've got your next franchise guy in Luka. Because if you're getting him before he even hits his prime, well, there you go. You've got another cornerstone. I think the LA Lakers are one of the teams that they can't go without having that franchise guy. You got to have that marquee player in order to sell tickets in LA. I mean, LA just can't throw out a bunch of ragtag guys like, you know, almost any other market out there, and people are going to go. Like, the Lakers are a marquee name. And if you're like, okay, well, LeBron's gone, who's the next? Oh, Luka's the next guy. There you go.
Yeah, I just, I look at this, and I don't think that either one of these teams is coming out. I honestly think that Oklahoma City is coming out of the West.
Oklahoma City looks really,
especially
really
good. When they get Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren back. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be formidable.
Yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein has been great coming over from the Knicks. Like, he's a, SGA should be your MVP so far this year. Like, they are.
No, he's the best player in the world right now.
SGA?
Yeah, he's the best player in the world right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right now he's got to be your MVP. Yeah, I don't look. I see other things going on in the West, and I'm like, there's just too much inconsistency with everybody else in the West. Oklahoma City is the one team that doesn't drop any of those silly games. Because I've seen other teams, you're like, how does Memphis lose to, you know, certain games, to like Charlotte, or, you know, how do the Wolves lose to Washington? And I know they didn't have their top four guys, but Oklahoma City is just one of those teams that, and they're scary because they're young and they've still got a ton of draft capital.
Absolutely. But this is something I'm going to play for you guys from Amin El-Hassan, who formerly on ESPN. He was in, I think it was the Phoenix Suns front office years ago. I can't remember what particular job he had. But I think he's on to something, and I think he brings up a great point. He's a part of the Dan Le Batard show. But this is Amin talking about the Luka deal, and there's more to it. And I said that to somebody over the weekend, that I think that there's something that maybe eventually will get out. But there's something else screwy with the whole Dallas situation that we just don't know about yet.
What's the most interesting thing about all of this to you? All of it.
There's something the Mavericks know about Luka that they're not telling us. There is something there that we don't, that, and I'm not saying it's like, oh, it's medical or it's physical. It might just be they felt strongly that he's not going to stay. And this isn't the first time we've had this. It's going to sound like a ridiculous comparison given what happened afterward. But once upon a time, Dan, Deron Williams was looked at as him and Chris Paul, who's the best point guard in the league. He was a franchise player. And the Jazz, in the middle of the night, traded him to Brooklyn. We didn't even know he was available. And he had like a year and a half or 2 years left on his deal. So it wasn't even one of those, he's going to be a free agent, we got to get something for him. And at the time, the Utah Jazz said, look, we are not confident that this guy is going to stay. And if he's not going to stay, we don't want to wait until we lose the leverage. We want to go out there and do the deal that we want to do ahead of time. And so they moved him. This is like that times a million. And so for me, I'm thinking about that part of it. There's that part of it. Is it a Deron Williams thing where it's like, we got to get out ahead of this? Or is this a, and this is an extreme example again, Zion Williamson thing, right? Think about Zion Williamson after like his second year. If the Pelicans were like, he's great, he's awesome, this is an elite talent, but I don't know, I think we're going to be stuck in this cycle of him never getting in shape and then, you know, playing and getting in shape and then playing great and then getting hurt again and then he's out of shape and we have to pay him all of this money and our franchise is stagnant. because it all hinges on whether this guy is ever going to take that part of it seriously. If the Pelicans had made the decision in year two, we would have killed them for trading him. Now we look at it and we look at the crater that is New Orleans and we're like, yeah, kind of in retrospect, hitching your sails to this guy may have hamstrung you from building something complete. And I look at Dallas and I'm saying, maybe that's part of the equation as well. But either way, there's something there that we're not getting when we just say, oh my God, I can't believe it was just Anthony Davis in one pick.
All right, so I think he brings up a great point, a few great points. And I love the analogy when he's talking about, or the comparison that he's making with Zion. I think that's awesome because I think that there's a touch of Zion in Luka. When Zion's healthy, Zion's unbelievable. But what have we been saying for the last several years about Zion? You've got Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal calling him a fat ass on national television. On TNT, they are ripping into Zion talking about he's stay away from the buffet. I mean, those are legitimate criticisms. So it's not just a – people want to look at Luka and act as though, well, no, he's fine. He doesn't need to lose any weight because he's getting – well, when Zion's out there playing, he's getting buckets too. It's about improving what you can be. When somebody's in their prime, you want them to be in the best shape possible. So if Zion's not doing what he can do to be in the best shape possible and lose weight and all that stuff, and Luka's not doing, call them all out. Call them all out. And by the way, Luka, because he got traded, is not eligible for the Supermax. He just lost $117 million.
What strikes me about the Luka trade is that he didn't ask for it. He's not one of the – he didn't ask for the trade. Dallas might have had concerns about signing him long term, but there was no disruption, no concern from Luka's end.
Well, that's how alarmed Dallas was.
I mean, that says something. And I mean, as for Zion, I wonder if Zion's just a big dude. Because, I mean, he's lost like 40 pounds.
They're both big dudes.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, maybe he's like Aaron Cartman. He's just like big boned.
Yeah, you know? But we've seen Zion when he's in shape, and we've seen him when he's not.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a distinct difference.
Oh, it's I don't want to say huge, but it's a significant difference. Balls. Absolutely. And Zion was supposed to be like one of those can't miss prospects, right? Remember when the talk was Zion to New York, and then he got drafted number one by New Orleans, and you're like, oh my God.
When Zion Williamson plays, he's amazing. When is he going to play?
When?
That's the issue.
Yep, these soft tissue injuries for bigger folks. But the thing is, like, Luka's a guard. Zion's a big. Zion's a post player. But in today's day and age, like, you got to be able to run. Even the bigs got to run the floor.
Coming up next, bites of the night that I have not heard via one Christopher Tubbs. We get to them next here on the Lake Show.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story.
These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I was, you know, out of town over the weekend, got back this morning. And so I was in tune with some things that were going on, but not every single thing that was going on in the world of sports. And I guess it sounds like over the weekend that there were some people specifically that were a little bit unhappy with our current president, those people being Canadians, and that there were some reactions with regards to our national anthem. So tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, I've never seen this before, that when American teams play in Canada, they play the American national anthem and the Canadian national
same
anthem.
Same here, yep.
Same thing here, yep. Yes.
Be respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. the first time in my life, I was watching the Sens Wild game, and I had to rewind it. And then I went online. Canadians were booing the American national anthem. And Canadians are known as being some of the most laid-back, chill, not aggressive people like you could ever imagine. And, well, here, take a look or take a listen. This was the national anthem prior to the Ottawa Senators and Minnesota Wild hockey game Saturday night.
What's so proud?
Okay, so there was Saturday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And apparently the folks in Toronto said, you know what?
They played the Clippers yesterday. I know this because I watched a good portion of this game.
Yeah. The Toronto Raptors hosted the LA Clippers, and Toronto said, okay, Ottawa, we see you, and we're going to go a little louder. Okay.
All right. So that gives me a sense of what's going on. Let me react to that here in real time. All right. So I understand Canadians being upset with the leader of this country right now. I get that because I think that I speak for myself. I'm not happy with them. Okay. And I think that a lot of the stuff is nonsense. But it's not, to me, it's not cool. Okay. The Canadians have every right to feel a certain way. I don't think that booing our national anthem accomplishes anything, and I don't think it's respectful at all. Like, if I had an issue with Trudeau, okay, their prime minister, whoever's in charge after him, because he's about to be not in charge of things, whatever. But whoever it is, I mean, I'm not booing their, you know what I'm saying, their national anthem. What does that accomplish?
Because booing the national anthem is like you're booing the country.
Yes.
When your frustration and your anger is towards a very small majority of people.
I might have an issue with the leader of a country. That doesn't trickle down into me disrespecting the people of that country or what I believe that their country actually represents. Now, if they feel like Donald Trump represents all Americans, which I don't believe that he does. I think that more people are not supportive of his than they are, but that's beside the point. I just don't – what's productive from booing us, booing our national anthem?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. It just struck me as very odd because I had never heard anything like this. I hadn't heard anything like this in the United States, and I certainly would not have expected anything like this coming from Canada. Because the reputation and perception of Canadians is just happy, go lucky, just kind of, you know, not really high stress, you know, they're just kind of, okay, we're going to go along with it. We live up here and we're just kind of minding our own business. But you hear that. And yeah, it struck me as just being very odd. And I mean, maybe that is their way to let, you know, Donald Trump know that they are not happy with these tariffs because, yeah. And I wanted to play this too, because it kind of ties into what, you know, you were talking about an hour ago, is just with making enemies out of allies. It was just such a weird and kind of out of body thing, because in almost 50 years, I've never heard anything like that. And there were two separate instances in two different arenas on different nights. I don't know if this was isolated or if this is something that is going around and is going to continue to be a trend. Like I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because if something like that was to happen here, I don't know if we would boo the national anthem.
This texter says from the 507, I think they're booing because the singing was bad. They couldn't even get into the damn song.
Yeah, it's like what they introduced the artist, and then once they started singing, especially in the second one in Toronto, once they started singing, and then it was like boo. It was just like after the second or third word that she belted out, they were raining. They had planned on booing the anthem.
I don't care how bad somebody is. I'm not booing them. Carl Lewis is all-time bad. Roseanne Barr, all-time bad.
Yeah.
I'm not booing people. These people are in front of arenas and stadiums singing the national anthem. They might be listen, trust me. I've been in Target Center where the national anthems have not been good. Okay? I'm not booing anyone.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to sing the national anthem, I have a ton of respect for. Because that is, you are putting yourself out there to be criticized and picked apart.
Yes.
I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Anybody that wants to do it has mad respect.
My guy, Mo Cheeks, when the young lady, remember she needed assistance on the national anthem?
Yes, and he went over.
He went over and helped her with the national anthem.
Yes.
And she was a young woman. So I'm not buying any of this stuff. I think you're right. I think it's more about people were upset about the status of the relationship or the lack of diplomacy between
Yeah, and the tariffs too. I think Canadians, because they pulled Canadian liquor,
yes.
or American liquor off of the shelves,
yep.
in several provinces. So not only are we going to be penalized here by having to pay a larger price, but these Canadians are not going to be able to enjoy the products that they get from the United States. So I think both countries are going to suffer from whatever sort of a trade war that we're going to have. And this was their way of, hey, we got a 30 day pause on it. So, I guess, drink your Kentucky bourbon, Canadians, you crazy Canucks.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And Fox Sports star Colin Cowherd, something happened to him today, and I can totally relate. We get to that next year on the Lake Show.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the toughest, I guess, moments that I've had in being an on-air host and co-host have been times, because this is a specific lane and job that you do, and if I was to get sick right now on the job and had to leave, well, Chris Chubbs would have to, he'd have to finish the show off.
I can't do that. I'm one-dimensional.
He'd be the one-man band the rest of the way.
I can't do that.
And so this comes up, and I could totally relate to it in terms of like getting sick on the job. But an extremely talented individual by the name of Colin Cowherd. You guys know him well from his time with Fox Sports Radio and also The Herd on FS1. He actually, today, live on the air, he got sick. Not in terms of, like, throw up, but he started feeling under the weather, and he quickly got to a commercial break and let them know what was going on. Take a listen to this. This is
number
weird.
Three is the Lakers are aspirational franchise with statues everywhere in the building. And the bottom line here is I think we're going to get a more dedicated Luka. Folks, I'm going to take a break. I am getting very, very sick very, very quickly on this set, and we will return.
All right, so that was Colin Cowherd. He got real sick. Yeah, I thought that the cut was short, and when I saw this on the screen, I'm like, oh, it's not that long. But anyway, That's too inside radio. He felt himself getting sick on the air, and he cut it short. And he says, "I got to go to commercial break." And so they go to commercial break, and Jason McIntyre, who I think is – he's got some of the worst takes in all of sports. He finished the show. Now, they tweeted out later that Colin Cowherd is feeling better. He's fine, whatever, and all that stuff, whatever. But I've had it happen to me where I could not finish a show. And you don't – when you sign up to do a show, you've got all your topics and things that you're going to go into, and you know how your show is going to flow. Now you're not the pivot is there are certain topics that will take off more than others. Mm-hmm. There's some nights where a topic will just explode and everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to text about it, and it might run a couple more segments of what you think, right? But you know how your show is going to go. So when somebody gets into a show and they're not feeling well, they want to gut it out because they want to get to the stuff that they prep for, that they plan for.
Yes.
So let me take you back to, it was like 2006. I'm ballparking it. I had earlier went, I grabbed some takeout from a restaurant in Robbinsdale Crystal. And so I grabbed the takeout, went to the station. I ate at my desk leading up to the to going on the air. This is at the time me and Corey Cole were together, Sludge and Lake mm-hmm. Show, which was a benefit because I had a co-host, right? It's me and him. I go into the studio, and like at the end of the first segment, like my chest is like ready to explode. My stomach is hurting. And I'm like, man, what's going on? And so we get into the second segment. And dude, it's starting to get like more intense. And so after the second segment, I went and laid on the ground. I'm like, man, what's going on? And so at the end of the, or in the middle of the third segment, I looked over at Corey, and I looked over at the producer. I said, guys, I got to check out.
I'm done.
I got to go to the hospital. Yeah. I feel – because Corey had said something in the second segment, like, man, you know, you're doing okay? And I was like, nah, something's – so I had to – so I left, and I went to an office, a doctor's hospital over there right off of Excelsior and 100.
Okay.
I think it's like a Park Nicollet or something like that. And so I went over there. I told them what the heck was going on. They took a look at me, this, that, the other. They were trying to figure it out. They're like, yeah, we need to get you over to Methodist.
Wow.
And so, I went over to
– how are you feeling before you went to go get the food? Was everything fine?
I was totally fine.
You're feeling good? Okay.
So the thought was maybe was it like heartburn or what? But like how do you know the difference between having a heart attack and heartburn? Mm. And so, like, they gave me, like, this concoction that you drink and it numbs your, you know, it's like numbing and going down. And so, anyway, to make a long story short, I ended up being in a hospital, like, basically almost like to the next morning. And it finally, the pain finally subsided. But, dude, it was intense. It was terrible. And, yes, I had to check out of a radio show. Now, to this day.
What was the reason for it? Was it
never got to the bottom of it?
Really? Do you have? Yeah. You were just like had an IV for the entire night too, like getting fluids into you?
I can't remember. Okay. It was so long ago. Okay. But the that was the one and only time I ever had to check out of an on air live show because I was sick.
Wow. You're right about putting together a show or even a broadcast. For me, there have been times where I'm in the middle of, when I was doing play-by-play, I would be in the middle of a broadcast, and I'm not feeling good. And come every break, I would put my head down, and I would be listening in my headphones, and it's like, okay, 3, 2, 1, and then just have to put the light switch on. And you were very fortunate that you had Corey.
You're gutting it out.
Yeah, you were fortunate that you had him there. Because I feel like this is one of those industries that you almost need somebody else.
Absolutely, you do.
Just in case something goes wrong.
The backup, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And what I feel about, especially CCO, I mean, with the exception of me, everybody here is qualified, like, to do their job, right? I mean, everybody here knows that
you're a man, you're 40.
I know.
Come on, man. Anyway, go ahead.
No, you're here to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're here if something, because there have been times where I have been sick on the air and I'm the only one there and I'm like, well, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, man, you don't sound good. I'm like, you can't just quit. You can't just be like, man, I got to go home. I got an hour left. Like, and you're just trying to gut it out. But it is a really, it's a fun industry. I enjoy this job. I've enjoyed this industry for the 25, 26 plus years that I've been into it. But yeah, it is different. And for you to only have that one time, I mean, that is amazing. But boy, it was that serious.
I was in a lot of pain.
See, I've been sick and I've gutted it out and I've gone home and I've had like the flu or something, but mm-hmm. never anything to what you were describing. I mean, there have been times where I get into the break, I put my head down, and then I can hear, you know, we're coming back. You put your head up and you go. You've got like maybe 8 or 9 minute spurts, but those are 8 or 9 minute spurts. They can last a long time.
Yeah, people that when they finally kind of get into the nuance of radio and they get a chance to kind of look behind the curtain, they understand it's not as easy as one would think. Like, people think that it's just you turn on the microphone and you just run your mouth. And then when people actually come here and when people think about, like, when they see the prep or they'll talk on the air for the first time.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people have, like, been on shows and they talked for a segment and you're like, man, we talked for a long time. And you do this for how many hours?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you get used to.
Especially the four-hour shows.
Oh, man.
And I got used to four-hour shows in Kansas City. Ugh.
I was lucky. We had a three-hour show in Houston, and we could just re-rack the last hour.
Rack them.
Rack me.
Rack them.
What was cool about that is we would, we would do the show, and then we could rack it, which would be nice. But we start the prep. Even just for this show, we started early. And you're right. Like, we have things that's like, if it takes off, you run with it. There are some things that don't hit and you move on. You're like, oh, man, okay, that didn't go the way that I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
But you just try and put things out there that you feel are relevant, that people would be interested. Because I feel like one of the big things, and I don't know how you feel about this, Henry, and maybe this is a little, radio 101. I used to work with people. Like hosts that would talk about what they wanted to talk about. And I'm like, don't think about you. You got to think about the audience.
Well, you got to think about both.
Well, you do.
Because if you ask our boss here, he'd be like, yeah, you definitely need to be talking about what you want to talk about.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You need to think about, but then think about what you feel could also resonate and connect with the audience too. I mean, if you're just talking about what you want to talk about, I mean, let's spend a segment on the Royal Rumble and how main event Jey Uso, eliminated John Cena at the very end. Spoiler for those that didn't see the Rumble. I mean, I think there's like three people out there that would be interested in the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of them.
Okay, well, we can talk.
651-461-9226. We'll get to headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show. All right, let's dive into headlines here with Christopher Tubbs here. See what he has up his, short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, short sleeve shirt, but it's like
I got my hoodie on.
I know, man. It's a little chillier in the studio too, but this thing is like,
you got a t-shirt on.
This thing's like,
it's winter.
This thing's like 5X. I feel like I'm swimming in it. I feel like a sorority girl that's coming out of a frat house the night after wearing somebody's t-shirt.
It definitely doesn't fit you.
I know. It looks like this could almost be like a skirt, man. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. Hey, Democrats on Saturday elected Ken Martin, the party leader in Minnesota, as the national chair, turning to a low-profile Midwestern political operative to coordinate their resistance to Donald Trump's presidency. Martin came into the weekend as the favorite among the three candidates and captured a majority of the vote of the 448 DNC members. Martin succeeds Jamie Harrison of South Carolina atop the Democratic National Committee. Harrison did not seek another term after the 2024 election, when Trump became the first Republican to win the popular vote in two decades and made modest gains with core Democratic constituencies, African-Americans, Latinos, working-class voters among them.
Yeah, this is a name that had been kind of thrown out there for a while, for at least the last month or so. And sure enough, he gets the nod.
Mm. Hey, let's go down to entertainment here. Beyonce won the album of the year for Cowboy Carter at last night's Grammys, delivering her at last the show's elusive top award. Superstar is both the most awarded and nominated artist in Grammys history, had been up for the category four times before, and many feel she's been snubbed by its top honors. In winning album of the year with Cowboy Carter, Beyonce has become the first black woman to win the top prize in the 21st century. While last was Lauryn Hill with the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill 26 years ago. Great album, by the way. Before her was Natalie Cole and Whitney Houston, means Beyonce is only the fourth black woman to win album of the year at the Grammys. Members of the Los Angeles Fire Department presented Beyonce with a trophy, one of several times the show reflected the recent wildfires that burned thousands of homes. Kendrick Lamar won Song and Record of the Year for his diss track Not Like Us, taking home two of the night's most prestigious awards.
Congratulations to Beyonce. I love Beyonce. Now, the Cowboy Carter album, I don't understand how people are questioning and saying, well, it's not really a country album. Why is it not? Well, I don't understand that.
I think because she doesn't, to me, I think the perception is that she doesn't come from a traditional country background.
Is it a country album or is it not? Like, forget about who the artist is. Like, some artists are that talented. So are we saying that an artist that does regular pop or R&B or rock, that they can't do a reggae album?
I think it's about
a genre. It shouldn't be about, like, some people have versatility.
I think it's just a black woman coming from the group and then going to the solo and then going over to the countryside. It's just, I think it's a hard concept for people to wrap their mind around. You know, Darius Rucker went from Hootie and the Blowfish to a very successful country artist. And we've seen a lot of people go from country, go over to the pop side.
So
I think that's a perception that people have.
So what do we call Lil Nas X when he came out? Was he country?
I don't know. I mean, Old Town Road, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Because it was like country rap, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Old Town Road was a banger.
So, but what I'm saying is that when he does like actual like rap, is he not? Is he still country? I think you have to look at the specific body of work in terms of that specific item. I don't think you can look at the artist necessarily.
Well,
because I don't look at Miley Cyrus and just categorize her as country. She does a lot of stuff.
There are certain individuals though that I feel like you got a pigeonhole. It's like, you are only one. You're only one genre.
Yeah,
and just because you know you come from you come from Destiny's Child, and then you go to Beyonce, Queen B with Jay-Z. It's like you're married to someone that seems like he would be as far away from country as there could be.
I mean, Jay-Z might be a big country fan. How do we know?
He might be.
I used to watch Hee Haw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
What y'all talking about?
But I think that's the perception out there.
I used to watch Lawrence Welk when I was a kid.
I think if you have a certain background, the perception is you can't do it. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith went country. And it takes a lot of talent to be able to hit a couple of different genres at the same time.
I'm going to make sure I'm driving around all summer long bumping some Blue Eyes. Loud. All right, coming up next, young people internalize when mistakes happen, and we need to help get them through those mistakes. I'll explain next.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real. Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.